Hi, this is Eric Lures, and you're listening to the Guru Selling System Radio Show. So, inbound leads. Apparently, there's some stats out there that say up to 50% of all inbound sales leads are actually never followed up on. Now, that's the kind of thing that made me spit out my coffee when, and I don't even drink coffee, but it's the kind of thing that made me spit out my coffee when I heard it. And I got to admit, it took me back when I saw that number, because there's so many people out there who are saying, I haven't got enough leads to follow up on, and to know that 50%, potentially 50% of leads are sitting there untouched was like, wow, that just blew my mind. And yet, didn't blow my mind so much because it just kind of, it's one of those things that's like, it figures at the same time. So it started making me wonder, what is the problem? Why aren't, you know, what makes people not follow up on leads? What would be happening? What would cause that? You know, and how do we fix that? Because obviously, if you've got somebody calling into your company saying, I potentially want what you've got, it would seem like a no-brainer that these leads should be being followed up on, and yet they're not. So, in order to discuss that, I invited on my friend Andy Paul, and we are going to be talking about that. We'll be going to that interview in just a moment. Now, before we get into the interview with Andy, though, as always, if you haven't gone and gotten yourself a copy of the free report, The Secrets of the Guru Selling System, I recommend that you go on over to our website. That's guruselling.com. That's GURUselling.com. And you'll find plenty of places to pick up the report on our website. Also, if you really want to understand what we're talking about, because again, in this show and in every show, I will be mentioning bits and pieces of the Guru Selling System. And if you really want to understand the Guru Selling System, then go on over to the website BeDoSale. That's BEDOSALE.com, and you can pick up the first three chapters of the book BeDoSale for free. Just download them from the site right there. You can also pick up the digital copy, or it'll take you on over to Amazon where you can pick up the hard copy of the book. And the book BeDoSale is all about the Guru Selling System, where it came from, what it does, how you apply it, and you'll be able to utilize it, understand it, and understand when I talk about various pieces from the Guru Selling System in this show and in every other show that I do. Anyway, without further ado, let's get to our interview with Andy Paul. Okay, and today our guest is Andy Paul. Now, Andy is the author of the book Zero Time Selling and the CEO of Zero Time Selling, the company, which is a sales consulting, coaching, and development company. And prior to starting Zero Time Selling in 2000, he spent more than two decades as a sales professional and vice president of sales in companies ranging from startups to Fortune 1000-sized companies. Now, he has experienced every type of sales situation there is, including selling all types of products and services in B2B and B2C environments. And at various times, he's been the big kid on the block, and at other times, he's been the startup run taking on Goliaths. He has sold door-to-door through inside sales and built and managed sales channels of distributors, VARs, OEMs, and dealers, and MOUSEs. Just kidding. And he's done this all across five continents. And with Zero Time Selling, Andy teaches the true meaning of responsiveness and demonstrates how to use responsiveness as a key competitive advantage to build trust, create value for the customer, and win more orders in less time. So, Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Glad to have you here. Now, today we're going to be talking about follow-up, which I think is something I hear a lot of people complain about, not a lot of people talk about, so I think it's a good thing that we're going to be talking about it. Now, from what I hear, around the industry, there's various estimates out there, you know, up, down, left, right, and center. But on average, the estimates are that as much as 50% of all inbound sales leads, all the stuff that we've gotten in, all these people we wanted, we searched for, we hunted for, we did turned over rocks, we kicked down doors for, got these inbound sales leads. They come in, and up to 50% of them are not followed up on. Why the hell does that happen?
As I like to say with people, it's like, you know, getting a sales lead is like getting keys to an ATM, right? I mean, who doesn't want the keys to an ATM? Well, I think that what happens is that, yeah, most companies just don't have a process in place to say, look, this is the expectation that we're going to follow up all of our leads. And if, you you know, my experience has shown over the years that if you're not, as a manager, you're not checking something, it typically doesn't happen. So it's a process that starts at the top, you know, management, not having in place, you know, a system that says, look, as a policy, we're going to follow up all of our leads that are come in, we're going to set expectations for how quickly they should be followed up, and we're going to check to make sure it happens.
But, I mean, and I agree with you, but what you're saying sounds ridiculous at the same time, don't you think? I mean, that there's no construct in there. I mean, what the hell do you think the purpose of the lead was for? You know what I mean? So how does that happen, that there's no mandate from on high that, like, look, the whole reason you're here is to follow up on these people and to create sales? How does that happen in the industry?
Well, yeah, I mean, my book is targeted largely to small and mid-sized businesses, and sort of from my consulting experience, it's been focused there. And what I've found is that there's this expectation on the part of management that this is taking place. You know, they expect that they hire people, and one of the expectations is to follow up on leads when they come in. But, again, if they don't have a process in place, say, look, we're going to get all these leads, we're going to enter into our CRM system, we're going to assign them salespeople with follow-up dates, and we're going to check on a regular basis to make sure it happens. Unless they go to that level of discipline and commitment to making sure it happens, and typically it doesn't. And that's sort of compounded by the salespeople who, and I've never really understood my entire career, is salespeople sometimes just don't like to follow up on the leads. You know, they'd rather, you know, if they weren't developing the lead themselves, through calling or prospecting, but they just don't want to be bothered. And so they do a lot of sort of eyeballing and pre-qualification or pre-disqualification, which you know, has the net effect of saying, look, there's really valid opportunities. They're just going by the wayside and not being followed up.
So, okay, so I think I hear a couple of things here then. There's obviously, like, as you just said, the last part where you said salespeople are kind of, if they themselves didn't bring in the lead, they're kind of discounting it offhand, which I've seen. But I think you also touched on something else, which was about the entirety of the system and bringing them in, following up, and the reporting, et cetera. So, do we have a couple of, you know, do we have like the perfect storm that's making follow-up not succeed, which might be partially salespeople who are predisposed to only want to talk to the people they themselves chose, and thus everything else is eradicated from their view? And also, is there maybe so much complexity in terms of the follow-up systems, the reporting, et cetera, that creates, you know, a desire to sort of avoid all that complexity? And third, also mixing in there, a lack of mandates from on high or follow-up from on high. I mean, is that kind of like the perfect storm of what's happening?
Yeah, I think that's true, and that is what's happening. I think what sort of compounds it typically and sort of, again, the SMB space, is that oftentimes the CEO, the entrepreneur, doesn't want to get their hands dirty with sales, I guess is the best way of putting it. And so as a consequence, that's where it sort of starts in terms of, you know, lack of commitment to follow up to make sure that it's happening, is that the CEO doesn't really want to deal with it, and they've, you know, allocated and assigned that task to someone else, and as a consequence, they're willing to pay money to generate leads, but they're not willing to spend the time to ensure that they're getting a return on that investment in generating leads by making sure they're followed up. And I see that disconnect all the time in clients.
So is it then, so then does the fault lie in the stars or in ourselves in terms of, is the fault then the owner, the CEO, or is the fault of poor hiring choices? Is it the fault of lack of hiring people who are not self-disciplined? I mean, where's the real core of the problem?
Well, I think it starts at the top, and there has to be put in place a policy expectation of what's going to happen with leads. And it has to be codified. And most companies that I've worked with, you know, I've had to put that in place for them because they could have had, you know, fairly robust lead generation activities going on, but then, you know, healthy quantity of the leads, a percentage of leads just weren't being followed up, and they just didn't see that, and they weren't going back and measuring, you know, conversions out of leads. They weren't measuring really what the ROI was on their lead generation activities. So to me, you know, salespeople, there could be salespeople that individually are motivated to follow up on all the leads and do that themselves, but I would say in general, the tone has to be set at the top. And then can be simply implemented. It doesn't have to be overly complex. But I think once you set the expectation and you have a simple system in place to make sure it happens, then suddenly you start having more qualified leads or prospects in the pipeline coming out of these leads.
So is it so then this lack of follow-up on the part of the salespeople, is it because they perceive that the leads that came in any way other than the way that they themselves set up aren't really qualified?
Well, I like to use the word valid, right? I mean, they sort of eyeball and pre-qualify, as we talked about earlier. That's part of it. I think that part of the other issue you get into is just of course, and motivation. I mean, I don't want to paint people too broadly with too broad of a brush, but it's you're going to have a certain percentage of your sales population out there that is underperforming, that if they were sort of part of a system that really forced them to do lead follow-up, is they would find that their numbers start improving somewhat. Doesn't mean they're going to become a star, doesn't mean they're going to start making quota, but they're suddenly going to have more opportunities that they're dealing with. And that actually, I've seen that sort of turn salespeople from being poor performers to average performers, which, you know, great. You know, granted, they're still not maybe hitting quota, but it's a big change. And so I think the trickle-down effect of this is beneficial across the sales team. I think the other thing with salespeople is that there's a sort of fear, without being too analytical, but there's a fear among many salespeople that they're just not confident in their product knowledge or their sales skills, and so they're, you know, there's this call reluctance, which, you know, it's been well documented in the literature that people have, and, you know, it sort of shows itself when people are left to their own devices to say, okay, what are you going to do with this lead? Given a choice, oftentimes with the call reluctance, they won't follow up.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I know follow-up has been a big issue, but you're certainly painting a picture that's even more dramatic than I understood. from your experience, then, in terms of a percentage, what percent, like when a sales team turns around, fully engages, et cetera, their follow-up, a follow-up system versus the run of the mill, what kind of increase percentage-wise in sales would you see, or do you normally see after they have engaged a more effective follow-up system?
It's not sort of a one size fits all number on that, but I mean, I'll give you an example, and I talk about this somewhat in my book. You know, one client I worked with that had a fairly, for a small business, they were getting, you know, probably anywhere between 5 and 10 new leads a day, and they sold a product that sold for roughly $30,000. And they had, you know, relatively poor follow-up on those activities, and pipelines were showing it. And once we started working with them, you know, what they experienced was using the same number of salespeople, they basically, over the course of about 3.5-4 years, they doubled their sales. So they did nothing else really differently. You know, they hadn't introduced a new blockbuster product or anything like that, but the fundamental thing that changed, was that they followed up on 100% of their leads. They did it quickly, and they did it with the right people, the people that had the right product knowledge to be able to answer the customer's questions promptly, and it transformed their sales results.
Well, and that makes sense. I mean, as we said before, if the average is that 50% of leads are not being followed up on, and you followed up on that 50%, which would be a doubling of following up, then theoretically, as you said, within 3 to 4 years, they doubled their sales. So that makes perfect sense. If you're leaving half your leads on the floor, then those sales will also be left on the floor. So, and out of companies, I mean, how many? I guess what percentage of companies do you think right now are in this realm of, you know, poorly following up? You know, is it 80% of companies, 20% of companies? Like, you know, what percentage do you think is out there that's doing this badly right now?
Well, I think that, you know, if you look at the mix of business types in the United States, just by sheer quantity, you know, the small and mid-sized businesses dominate. And this is, I think, you're more likely to find the problem in that population pool than, let's say, in a very large enterprise that might have more mature and more disciplined sales processes in place. So, you know, if we said, look, probably 3/4 of the small, medium-sized businesses in the United States have this issue, I'd say that's probably a realistic number.
Well, okay, I appreciate that, because the reason I bring that up is because I want the listeners to, I often like the listeners to take a sort of a hard gulp and look in the mirror and say, "Is that me?" You know, what I mean,
well,
I think that's the effective thing. Go ahead.
One of the first things I do when I first talk to a client and dealing with the CEO is the last time I said, map out for me your lead management, lead handling process inside your company. You know, which hands does it touch from the time you receive it to the time a salesperson speaks to the customer as a follow-up, and how long does it take? And I've never once, even with some really good CEOs, I've never once had them be able to do it, map that out. So if the CEOs don't understand what's happening with the leads that they're investing their company's money in to generate, then there's going to be a problem on the backside too.
Okay. And I guess that's the whole construct of, I hired somebody else to handle sales, why am I having to think about it? But they have to think about it.
Well, that's a small, mid-sized enterprise. The CEO oftentimes could be somebody that, you know, started the company because they had a passion for a specific product, or, you know, I worked in high tech with a number of startups where, you know, the CEOs were engineers and they didn't want to know about sales in terms of, you know, getting involved with the details. So the really good CEOs in the startups were great salespeople. So, you know, you see that. You know, people have a passion. They start a company for a specific reason, or it's a company-owned business that's been in the family for generations, and the current generation, you know, sort of didn't really come up when the business was growing, and they take it over, and they just, you know, they don't have a feel for the customers and the business, and they want to have somebody else take care of it.
Wow. So all these different ways that we get to the same situation. So I guess there's an aspect of culture that you have to look at as well when you're addressing these issues. Because again, like you said, it comes from the top down, which I believe everything does. So,
well, there is.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, I was going to say, I think one of the common things I'd seen in my, or have seen in my consulting practice, that you know, small businesses oftentimes, especially sort of closely held, family-run, oftentimes reach sort of the static stage where they're not growing, and they've sort of lost the recipe for growth. And, you know, there's sort of this tacit collusion between the owners and the salespeople that, you know, as long as they're doing this much, I'm okay. But I think, as you're well aware through your experiences, there's really no such thing as standing in place, right? You're either going up or you're going down. it's a trap then that a lot of small and mid-sized businesses find themselves in, that they've lost the recipe for growth, they've lost the recipe for how they really sell their products, and for a variety of reasons we can get into, and things are starting to go downhill. So paying attention to fundamentals in most cases is a good way to turn it around.
Well, yeah. And when you were saying about growing or shrinking, I remember from science that there is no such thing as stasis. There's only growth or there's only expansion or decretion.
Right.
Or decreasing. I'm not sure if decretion is a word, but expansion or contraction. That's right. So you're either growing or you're dying. One of the two. And I find it, especially in today's marketplace. You talk to a lot of business owners or sales team managers or whatever, and they say, well, we did the same as last year, you know, so we're doing okay, we did the same as last year. And they never factor in the case of that their costs have gone up, costs of living have gone up. So they say, well, what, we made $5 million last year, we made $5 million this year, so we're doing okay, we're happy to be holding our own, and you know, you have to kind of give them that rude awakening of, well, actually, since the cost of living went up, you know, 3.5% since last year, and your operational costs went up 12% since last year, you know, you're actually not doing okay. You actually didn't do the same as last year. So that's the rude awakening piece, which I'm sure you've delivered.
Oh, absolutely. And if their revenues are the same, but unless their market that they're playing in is shrinking, they're losing market share. Well, they think they're doing okay, but they're actually doing worse. And I agree with you. They're oftentimes not mindful of that at all.
I don't know. We're surviving. I don't think so. You're dying just slower than everybody else.
Well, I think you've seen this as well as I have in the last 4 years, since you know, things have been so rough here in the economy, that many business owners have used that as an excuse not to invest in improving their sales processes and generating leads. You know, they think they're hunkering down just trying to survive, and what they're actually doing is they're slowly dying. They're not surviving. And you know, now is really the time where if you want to find a way as a small business owner to make more of the current investment you're making in your sales, now's the time to do it.
I couldn't agree more. So now we've certainly hammered on the problem. Let's talk a little bit about the solution. What are some things, some steps that you know, these business owners, CEOs, the sales teams, et cetera, can take to put into place to start creating a follow-up system that works for them?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's multiple parts to it, and it's sort of the first step, as we alluded to, is sort of the easiest one, which is just the commitment that 100% of all your sales leads are going to be followed up. And that has sort of multiple parts. So one is, you know, a lot of small businesses have still resisted investing in CRM system, and that's really an essential element, I believe, to really simplify this process into, there's manual ways to work it without a CRM system, but if you have a CRM system, the statistics you see are, gosh, you know, a large fraction of small businesses have invested in CRM, but I guarantee you they're not using it for anything other than a contact database. So sometimes they look to find the right system for us. There's a lot of very simple, easy-to-implement, small business-oriented CRM systems that would function just fine for most companies. And start with your processes. And the first process I talked, step of the process, is map out the lead handling process. What happens to the lead currently in your company? And make sure you understand all the steps and see if there aren't things you can do to streamline the process. One of the first ones, obviously, is, you know, make sure all inbound leads are entered into your CRM system. Make sure they're assigned to a salesperson with a follow-up assigned to it. And then check the follow-ups on a daily, weekly basis to ensure that they took place. That's sort of the first step. You know, second step is really essential, and this touches on a little bit of a broader topic, but one that makes a big difference is really who do you have following up on your leads. In my book, I talk about one of the essential steps that companies should take is what I call selling with the sharp end of the stick, which is just my sort of clever way of saying what you need to do is position the people with their deepest product knowledge closest to the customer, closest to the point of attack. Because then, when you do follow up the customer, position to be completely responsive to their requirements for information. I mean, as I like to say, a lead is nothing more than a question the customer is answering and want it answered in sort of the shortest period of time possible. So to be able to be responsive to that information requirement for the customer, you need to have people with the right training and the right background as your frontline responders to the leads. The third element I talk about is just speed of response. And there was a study that was quoted in the Harvard Business Review saying that salespeople that responded to inquiries from customers within an hour were seven times as likely to be able to engage with the decision maker than if they waited just one more hour. So think about that. Seven times more likely to be able to engage meaningful conversation with the decision maker if you responded within an hour. So I work with my clients, and what I advocate in my book is that you have to set a metric for follow-up that you may not achieve initially, but you have a goal for, you know, we're going to follow up all leads within an hour, which I think should be the minimum expectation. But really, in most companies, you could do it, especially in small businesses, you could do it even faster. And the net result is that you have the right people following up in, you know, less than an hour or 30 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever you can make your process do, you've gained this incredible competitive advantage over the people who are responding 2 hours later, a day later, a week later, or not responding at all, obviously. And it's very powerful to be able to do that with the customer, because your customer, if their first experience working with your company is that talking to somebody that really, somebody that can answer all my questions, you know, you've begun that process of building trust and credibility and really differentiating yourself from your competition by how you sell your product, which is very powerful.
So, and I agree with you totally on that. And I think maybe that's an issue also is because you were saying that, you know, that people should be responding within an hour to a lead. A lot of times, like one of the problems I see sometimes calling into companies is that, you know, they basically force you towards the group voicemail machine,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
where, and then it's like, well, who the hell checks this thing and when? Because if it's just some part-time assistant who checks it every Wednesday, you know, and last Friday somebody called and had a desperate need of your product or service and was shoved straight into the group voicemail, there's no, you know, your 1 hour window is long since dead, you know what I'm saying? But again, that's the whole cost cutting thing is like, well, we'd have to pay a service to actually answer a phone or, you know, pay a human being, but, you know, we're saving money by funneling everything to this voicemail.
Well, yeah, we're saving money by losing sales.
Yeah.
And that is also one of the items in my book when I talk about the 10 essential steps that companies can use to accelerate their sales. Step number six is provide the human touch. That every inbound call, a telephone call, to sales or your support group has to be answered by a live person. You know, it's time to, do this thing with clients. And when I talk to groups, ask for a show of hands, is who thinks when they call a company and they have to talk to an auto attendant, who thinks that's good customer service? You know, I ask for a show of hands, because it's good customer service. Well, no one does. Everybody hates talking to those things. And are frustrated by having to do the hunt and peck through the, you know, dial by last name directory and all that stuff.
Yep.
And yet, that's exactly what they do in their business. You know, they have CEOs oftentimes just haven't made that connection between, you know, you want to treat your customers and provide the level of service to your customers that you would expect to receive when you were trying to buy something for a company. And your point is just so right on, is that, you know, people set up these sales voicemails, the messages go in, they don't get checked, and it just makes a world of difference when, you know, a customer calls in, a prospect calls in, and a live person answers the phone, and they're routed. You know, it's very simple. To, you know, if you have a small sales team, you know, four or five people, your small business, 10 people, whatever, set up rotation to make sure somebody's always available to answer a call when it comes in. It's, it just makes a tremendous amount of difference for the customer experience of working with your company and your ability to be responsive to them, night and day. And it's, again, I think it's a huge competitive advantage. It's not, excuse me, it's not costly, because like, companies sat down to the math and said, well, geez, how many sales do I need to lose in order to justify hiring a person? They'll find that it's not that many for the most part.
So even in today's age of technology, the secret, or one of the biggest secrets, is the human touch.
Absolutely. And in fact, even big companies are cottoning onto this. You know, there's been there's a company called Fast Customer, and there's another one I've seen recently where they now provide a service where you can sign up and you want to call into Microsoft to get tech support, but you don't want to wait online for 2 hours or whatever the wait time will be. So if the service, I like to say, it's like getting your Fast Pass at Disneyland or Disney World, where you subscribe to the service, they'll call you when an operator is available. So you sign up for their service, you want to talk to Microsoft, and you know, you have a call to make, you tell Fast Customer, then you get a call from Fast Customer when the Microsoft, so you can go out and do other things. So that's in essence sort of the same thing. I mean, companies understand the importance of having their customers talk to people and not having to wait for an hour and not having to deal with, you know, automated attendant. So now they're able to, even big companies now are providing the service where they can, people want to call in to support, can be guaranteed they'll talk to a live person and not have to wait on hold forever.
Yeah, no, I know that service well, because it's kind of like when they tell you your wait time is going to be 25 minutes, it's like, okay, call me back.
Yeah. Call me back.
Oh, man. So, okay, so...
I'm just a huge believer in that whole thing of having a live person answer the phone. And I think it's just, again, for a small, mid-sized business, just absolutely essential.
No, yeah. Yeah, if you're trying to establish yourself, the last thing you want to do is send people into voicemail hell.
Right.
Now, so if we were going to sum this up in, you know, for the listeners today, we said, what are two or three key things that everybody should take away from this, you know, two or three things they should be looking for in themselves, or two or three things they should be doing right now to engage and fully leverage, you know, these leads that they're letting die? What would you say they are?
Well, I think the first one is follow up with 100% of your leads. The second one is set goals for how quickly you're going to do that. You know, it's an hour, you know, half an hour, 15 minutes, whatever it is. But, and third is you're going to have a simple process using a CRM system to make it happen. So not only can you distribute the leads, but you can also check to make sure the follow-up happens within the time frame that it should have. And really the fourth thing we didn't really talk about before, but anytime you have a process, you know, processes are there to be improved. So maybe you don't start being able to follow every lead within a half hour. I mean, it takes you 3 hours to do it. Well, that's fine. 3 hours is better than, and you're following up 100% of your leads within 3 hours. Fantastic. Compared to what you're doing now. Work with that for a couple months. Fine-tune your process. And then, you know, 2 months, see if you can't get that down to 2 hours. You know, continually iterate your processes and see how you can make it more efficient. You have a story about one client that had gotten sales lead follow-up down to about an hour. And the salespeople had seen such a beneficial impact from it that they came to management and said, we know we can do it better. We know that based on what we've seen so far, that if we can get this down to 30 minutes, we're going to get even more qualified prospects. We're going to have more close, more orders. And so really the salespeople start driving, and I thought that was fantastic. So yeah, once you have your process in place, just keep improving it. And you just got to look at it, set aside time every month or every week, whatever the cycle you're on. What can we do to improve this? What can we do to make this more efficient? And in the process, what you're doing is you're going to create more sales opportunities for yourself and provide a better level of sales service to the customer.
Well, I agree. I think that's all good advice. And certainly, as you've shown, this is what you do. These are the kinds of companies, you know, you work with the small to mid-sized businesses on these specific issues. So for our listeners out there, how can they get in touch with you, learn more about you, learn more about your book, your products, your services, et cetera?
Right. So if they visit my website at zerotimeselling.com, there's information about the book and services. And also encourage people to come to the my website, zerotimeselling.com. And I have on there a free sales assessment tool. It was really geared for a CEO or sales manager in a small, medium-sized business to come, invest about 5 minutes of their time to answer 25 questions about their core sales processes and how they're doing. And it comes back with a report and a numeric score for them that is pretty illuminating in terms of, geez, what are the areas that I'm not doing well on and what are the areas I need to improve? And it's free for people to take, so I encourage people to come take it and just sort of set a benchmark for where they are in their own selling and give themselves a sense of what they can do better going forward. And then in terms of contacting me, people can always reach me on my email, andy@zerotimeselling.com, or my phone number, feel free to call me, 619-980-4002, and all that information is on my website as well.
Okay, great. And for Zero Time Selling, that's all one word, no dashes or anything else like that?
All one word.
All one word,
correct.
Zero Time Selling. Okay, so zerotimeselling.com. All right. Well, Andy, thank you so much for being on today. I think you've given me and certainly I hope everybody who's listening a lot to think about, a lot of great nuggets today, especially for those of you with the voice. I love the voicemail hell thing. I think that's something that everybody needs to wake up to, and also the follow-up speed and also following up with all your leads. So, Andy, thank you so much for being on today.
Eric, thank you very much for the opportunity. Enjoy it.
And we enjoyed you. And thank you for taking the time to listen today. Now, if lead follow-up is an issue for you or your organization, then please contact us here at the Guru Selling System, and we'll talk to you about our system, our sub-technology, which is known as the four elements of lead generation. And lead conversion and following up with clients is certainly one of the main areas that we cover with the technology. So if you're interested and want to learn more about it, you can give us a call in the United States. Our number is 973-551-9220. If you're outside the USA or Canada, be sure to send us an email at info@guruselling.com. That's info. Forgot the email address for a second. info@guruselling.com. Send us your name, your email address, your Skype ID, and what country you're in, and we'll get back to you ASAP about setting up a time to chat. Anyway, this is Eric Lohr saying thanks again for taking the time to listen, and always remember, you have to be a person before you can be a salesperson. Take care. Bye-bye.